In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the third week of the blessed month of Bo'una, and during this month, the church reads for us, or focuses on, the work of the Holy Spirit and the lives of the disciples and in the of the church and the believers. The passage of today comes from Matthew chapter 12, and it was about when Christ healed the blind and mute man. And we see in the beginning of this passage that it says that the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? Could this be the Son of David? This is what the people were saying. And then you have on the other side the Pharisees who said to him, who said about the miracle, they said that what? But he does this by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So we see people here observe the same miracle, but they went in two opposite directions. Some people were almost willing to believe in him, and then other people, the Pharisees, were willing or were accusing him of casting out demon by Beelzebub, who's the ruler of the demon. And who's the ruler of the demon? Satan, right? So they're actually accusing Christ of being who? Of being Satan. You're doing this, you know, because you're Satan. And the fathers of the church looked at this, or one of the fathers of the church looked at this, and they said that this blind and mute man is a representation or a symbol of the person who doesn't recognize God as their creator, or Christ as their maker or creator, nor give thanks to him. So he was both blind to the work of God and mute. He couldn't give thanks to him as creator. And I think the oftentimes in our life we come to a point where we're not sure whether what we are going to do or want to do, or whether we see or not see, is from God or from the enemy. You know, which is it? Is this something from God or is this something from the enemy? And one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to be a spirit of discernment, a spirit of discernment, to give us the enlightenment to be able to understand and to judge whether this is something from God or something from the enemy. St. John tells us in his first letter, he tells us what? But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. What is the anointing? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So the Holy Spirit is the teacher, is our teacher, to allow us to determine or to discern what is right and what is wrong. Of course, lest anyone think St. John is referring here that you don't need anybody to teach you the faith. This is just foolishness. Anybody who thinks, okay, no, I will read the Bible and, you know, the Holy Spirit will teach me whatever it is that I want to know, they will be led astray. And many people have gone down that route. So what he's speaking here is the discernment between what is good and what is evil in the moment that we need him. So I think the gospel of today gives us maybe just a small guideline how to determine whether something is from God or something is from the enemy. And I'll pose it in four questions. We need to ask ourselves four questions. Number one is it reasonable? Is what is happening, or what I want to do, or what I'm asking the question of, is it something that is reasonable? What am I mean by reasonable? The Pharisees in this passage, they accused Christ of casting out the demon by Satan himself. Now, he didn't say, you know, that he asked him to go out, but it said what? He cast him out, meaning what? That the demon left voluntarily or involuntarily? Involuntarily, right? The demon left involuntarily. So then you're telling me, is Satan, who has his kingdom and the demons work for him, is going to ask him to leave involuntarily? He said this doesn't make any sense. Then his kingdom will be divided, and any kingdom divided will not stand. You know, any country in civil war is not in any shape ready to defend itself against another, you know, enemy. So is it reasonable? And he told them a divided kingdom cannot stand. I think oftentimes, none of us, for to begin with, we make a decision knowing that it's unreasonable. We always think that my decision is a reasonable decision. It's only when, after the fact, that I come back and think about it a little bit more and say, wait a minute, this was unreasonable, right? So it seems simple to say, okay, we can just look at a situation and ask ourselves, is it reasonable? But it's not as easy as it sounds. Why? Because sin can cloud sound reasoning. Sin can cloud sound reasoning. Very good example of this is Samson, right? Samson, he fell for Delilah, and she asked him, what is the source of your strength? And he says, it's something else. He tells her something else. And what does she do? She goes and tells his enemy, and the enemies come and want to capture him, and he frees himself, right? So I think you and I, from the first time, we would say, then she's not trustworthy. I can't tell her what it truly is my secret, because I can't trust her. But because he was so involved in the sin, his sound reasoning became clouded to the point she did it 1, 2, and 3 times with the same result, and then the fourth time he told her the truth. To you and I, this seems very unreasonable, right? The first question, no, this is unreasonable. But to the person who's addicted to a sin, no, it becomes reasonable. They did a study once with about addiction and alcoholics. And they said the alcoholic prioritizes in their mind differently than the normal population. For example, for survival, our number one priority is like for food, right? And then, there's a certain chain, food and then replication and so on. But they said for the alcoholic, the alcohol takes number one spot. So they did a study, they gave an example of if you put a glass of whiskey or something in front of an alcoholic and told him, okay, either if you drink this, I'll shoot you, right? So what we would think is, okay, I'm not going to drink it. It's not worth my life. But what is the alcoholic thinking? He's thinking, can I drink it faster than the bullet goes in my head? So you see the difference here? His number one priority is what? Is the alcohol. So those who are in sin and maybe who are addicted to a sin, the number one priority is the sin itself. Then everything comes after. And this is where things become unreasonable, right? Maybe the alcohol is an extreme, but let's turn to maybe our devices, right? The addiction of our phones, being addicted to our phones and Facebook and social media and so on, Anytime you tell some of the youth, okay, we're going to take your phones, it's a big deal, right? It's a big deal, right? And sometimes when we get with our children, when we take our phones away from them, they start hyperventilating, right? And, going through like all of these, presenting these, seizures and so on, because you took away their phone. So number one is to ask, is it reasonable? And God created us with the gift of reason. When he created us in the beginning, he created us in his image and after his likeness. One of those gifts that he created us with was the gift of reason. And we need to always keep this, our reason in light of the gospel. In light of the gospel. Once we leave our reason to our own means, then we become unreasonable, or we can become unreasonable. So the first question is to ask, is the situation reasonable or not? Number two is, does it cause division? Does it cause division? As he said, Christ said here, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So he's saying here that you're either with me or you're against me. There's two sides, to this. Only two options. Either you're with me or you're against me. And when I'm speaking here about divisions, I'm not speaking about, is there division in opinion, or is there division in personal preference? No, I'm not speaking about that. Because you might say, okay, Abu, no, you're speaking about divisions. What about St. Paul and St. Barnabas? There's a division between them, and each one of them, was adamant about how they felt, and they didn't. Paul didn't want to take St. Mark. And Barnabas said, okay, I'll take him, right? So there's division there. But here it's a division in opinion and in personal preference. What am I speaking about here where there does it cause division? Division in the gospel and division in what is true, or confusion in what is true. So does the situation or my decision or my experience, whatever it is, does it cause division in the gospel or confuse the truth? But then you might say, okay, but Christ himself said that he came to cause what? Division. Did he not? He says, do you suppose in Luke 12, he says, do you suppose that I come to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. But rather division. And he continues and says, from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So what is this division that he's speaking of here? The division here he's speaking of are those who will be divided because of the gospel. You know, when Christ said here that there are only two groups, right? Are they with me or against me, right? These are the two groups that actually the whole world can be divided into. Either you're with me or you're against me. You're with the Lord Jesus or you're with Satan, right? Sometimes you'll have a situation where the whole family will be with Satan. Mother, father, children, everything. Then you have a situation where, two of the members are with Satan and two of the members are with Christ, right? Like Saint Damiana. Right, Saint Damiana was with Christ and her father when he denied his faith because he wanted to keep his position as a governor. She denied him. She says, okay, if you do this, then you're not my father. This is what Christ is talking about. The faith of the gospel and what is true sometimes might cause division in the family. And, you know, in this regard, this had to be done. This had to be done. And if you think about it, you might say, okay, you think it's very clear some people are with or against him. But some people are in the middle, right? But actually, by default, the people who are not with Christ are against him. The people who are not with Christ, or the people who are what we call as undecided, are against him. If people don't belong to anything by default, they belong to Satan. Why? Because belonging to Satan is something that's not very hard at all, right? Actually, it doesn't require you to believe in anything, nor does he ask you to do anything. Actually, not doing anything is what he wants, right? So not believing or remaining undecided is all it takes to be on the side of Satan. And sometimes this can get in the way of or can get, you know, and can be in a family. You know, there's a saying in English that says blood is thicker than water. I'm sure there's a message in Arabic, but in English it says blood is thicker than water. What does this mean? They say that like my allegiance to my family is thicker or stronger than anything else. You have somebody who says, okay, I'm interested in coming in the church, but only if my husband comes, or only if my wife comes. I'll come to church only if my brother comes with me, my sister comes with me. So you put, you know, an asterisk, or you put a condition on me coming to church, or me believing, or me repenting, or me doing whatever, if somebody else does it. So here, my alliance to whatever this is stronger than my conviction to change, my conviction to believe, anything else. So my family overrides any other commitment or that I have. We see in the Old Testament, in the beginning, when God first started his promise and his covenant with his people, he began with Abraham. And what made Abraham so special was that he left his father and his family, right? When God called him and said, leave your father and your family and come to a place that I will show you. Why did God say he had to leave his family? Because there had to be a division. You can't live among the pagans and the people who don't know God and expect to hear my voice and follow me. So he said, leave and come and I will show you, I reveal to you myself and make a covenant with you. So Abraham asked the question, or does it cause division? And because it was for God, he went. But for us, does it cause division in the gospel or in the truth? If there, the situation that I'm facing causes division in the truth or causes division in the gospel, then we need to reconsider our actions and our response. The third question is there blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Is there blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And what do I mean here? Against the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, and also the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual. Because oftentimes, in terms of the church, people will cast or want to cast doubt or division in the church. They'll say, okay, the priesthood is not there. I can pray to God directly, right? The body and blood here is not the real body and blood. We're all the same. We're all priests, right? They can also cast doubt on the on baptism itself. No, you just need to believe. It's enough. You don't need to be baptized. This is just something symbolic, something external. You don't need that. They can even cast doubt on the mystery of repentance, you know? And maybe this is more on a personal level. They'll say, or Satan will say, or maybe some others will say, that, you know, there's no need to go confess because you're going to do the same thing again anyways. So all of these, you know, are blasphemy against the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and in the life of the individual. And when making a decision, we need to ask ourselves, is what I'm, and what's in front of me here, does it cast, or does it blaspheme against the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and in the life of the individual? The fourth and last question is, what kind of fruit does it bear? What kind of fruit does it bear? In context, Christ here was still responding when he spoke about the fruit, and you'll know it by its fruit. He was still responding to the accusation that they said about him, that he was casting demons by Beelzebub. So he's saying that you will know it by its fruit. So what is he implying here to them? He's saying what? That it would be more consistent for you to either find fault or to praise me. Either find fault or praise me. But what was happening? They found no fault in him healing the man, healing the blind and mute man. But then they said of him that he's Satan, right? So they said, I find no fault in you, but you're still Satan. And this is self-defeating, right? So either you find fault in what I'm doing, and you stick saying that I'm bad, or you say that I'm all good. You can't say that I find no fault, your deed was good, but you were Satan or you were evil, right? So he told them that you need to assess the fruit. And here, the tree here represents the heart of a person and or the person as a whole. The heart of a person or the person as a whole. And the fruit, as we heard in the last verse, was one's words or one's deeds. One's words or one's deeds. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Christ is telling us today, my beloved, that we need to distinguish between the good and the bad fruit. We have to make this distinction, what is good and what is bad. And he said, look to the fruit to determine what kind of tree it is. Look to the fruit to determine what kind of tree it is. I can't say about my friends, you know, they have boyfriends and girlfriends, they are drinking, and they smoke, and they do all, and they drink, and all of these things, but they're good people. The fruit will tell you what kind of tree it is, right? We can't be deceived by this, right? As the good tree is, will produce good fruit. This reminds me of a youth that I was speaking with once. And he was telling me about how his friends would, at school, we're asking him why he doesn't have, a boyfriend, or why he doesn't have a girlfriend. And he, the way he responded was very nice. He told them, because I see all of those who have boyfriends and girlfriends around me will eventually are sad or angry or regretful, I don't want this for my life. It's not right for me at the moment. So he saw this. He reasoned within himself, and he saw the fruit that these trees bore, and said, "I don't like this. This is bad fruit. So I'm going to refrain from this." Right? And with all courage, he said this to his colleagues in school, in high school. So this boy was comforted my heart when I heard this. And we have to keep in mind, being friends with someone who enjoys what is sinful, we will end up being the same. You know what it's like? It's just like secondhand smoke. You're not smoking, but being around somebody who smokes, you end up smelling like the person who smokes. So if I'm around a particular sin, although I'm not participating of it, eventually I will smell like that sin, right? And then I will end up joining them and not, and falling, for the sin. So we saw today that we are given four questions that we should ask ourselves to help discern between what is from God or what is from Satan. Number one is, is it reasonable? Number two, does it cause division in the gospel or the truth? Number three, is there blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And number four, what is the kind of fruit that it bears? And I think from these three questions can give us, a start or a framework to assess whether something really is truly from God or something truly is from the enemy. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.